Okay.
Who's in the booth up here?
That's basically half, two thirds. Okay. Suppose the only chairperson remarks is been shown on Liam's Twitter feed that Naomi has had her child today. So obviously we'd offer our congratulations to herself and her husband. Yeah. All right. Put your mic on if you wish to speak there, Maggie.
I'm just staying.
Okay. Any declarations of interest? I take it there's none. Sorry, Michael. Looks that way. For who? Any declarations of interest? No. Okay, we move on then. Could I welcome Ronan Larkin, Graham Miller and Ivan Jackson, who are here to give us a presentation on behalf of NI Water. I know there is issues to deal with to deal with flooding and that, and we'll deal with them after the presentation has been dealt with. So I'll pass over to the gentleman, whoever wants to kick off.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Mike. Can people hear me okay? Yeah. Look, good evening, and thanks for the invitation to come and talk to you this evening at the council here. We met last year with you, and we set out some of the plans we had then, and we appreciate any support we've had from you since. So we're happy to take questions as we go at the end of the presentation, and even speaking in the foyer earlier, it was useful to pick up from one or two of the councillors' issues that they've asked us to take a look at with them, so we were glad to do that. So I've got myself, Ronan Larkin, and then Graham Miller here to my left, and Ivan Jackson on the far side here of the team. I suppose we want to just present tonight a little bit about Northern Ireland Water again, just what we're doing and how we see our services being, within your district. So, we want to be able to provide 21st century water and wastewater services to your citizens, your constituents, and we see our role as a key enabler to health in the province and here in the council area, to the economy in the area and to the environment, and particularly here in Newry and Mornin Down district. If you think about the environment down across the area. I mean, we stretch all the way from Rurallan up there, over the top of the map, right across to the beautiful South Armagh and Slieve Gullion area, which is fast becoming a tourist amenity as well. And then we have the Silent Valley and places like that in the south there, down towards Hilltown in that area. So Northern Ireland Water gets to operate assets in this beautiful area, and there's quite a lot of these assets are, I suppose they're starting to be thought of as civic type amenities as well, centres where people can come and enjoy as well as we get to provide the service. We've been given some thought to what our key strategic themes are, and again, I won't go through all of these in details, but towards the sort of 9 o'clock on that little chart, we want to protect and enhance the natural environment. So we get to capture raw water, treat it and distribute it through our network. At the same time, we get to take the wastewater away, capture that through a separate wastewater network and take it back to treatment works and clean it all up, get rid of the residue safely in an environmentally friendly way, and then return the safe effluent to the environment, whether that's back into rivers or back into the seascape. And again, if you think about the council area here, there's a lot of the council area that would be seen as a beautiful piece of the natural environment, and again, a big amenity for Newry and Mornin Down District Council. So I'll just pick out one of those themes. But these areas of themes is what we're developing at the moment. 21st century infrastructure, new and exciting. It's probably exciting, but it's fair to say it keeps us on our toes the old day, Graham. But in terms of the new piece, this photograph here is a photograph from 1894, when the tunnel system and the pipe system was being built from the Silent Valley down to take water down towards Belfast. So I suppose your predecessors, your forefathers, were thinking about what needed to be built back then to provide a service right across Northern Ireland, and I suppose that's part of all of our jobs today as stewards of the natural resources, and thinking about, again, what we do to provide the service we have to provide to citizens, and equally how you guys in the council areas then work with us in various other agencies. So we see this as quite a big piece of our role as well, but we still use that tunnel, I think, today to provide water into Belfast. So we could have a photograph like this 100 years from now, and people are reminiscing fondly about you councillors and the work you did back in 2016. As you have talked about maintaining and enhancing infrastructure for health, the economy and the environment. And if we just talk about the economy a little bit, if there's a situation as our economy starts to grow again here in Northern Ireland, and there's maybe a business park development or a housing development, we want to have the infrastructure ready to take that development when it's built, as opposed to have to tell the council and people, the developers, we can't build the development until the infrastructure is put in place. So as your economy grows, as more businesses maybe come into the area, as more housing becomes provided in the area, Northern Ireland Water very much wants to have work in conjunction with the council to make sure that we have infrastructure in place to allow that development to come on stream. And so we see that as a big part of what we do. In terms of investments here in the area here in Newry and Morning Down District, we've listed these here, but I'll just pick up a few of these here. So these are schemes in construction or recently complete projects. So we have Arglass Wastewater Treatment Works. There's been a major piece of trunk main work from Ballydugan down to Newry Main as a reinforcement project. In Downpatrick itself, there was the Market Street sewage pumping station upgrade. In Newry, back towards Newry then, the Creve and the Ballantemple Zone water mains improvements. And then in Ballinahinch, the public realm sewer and the water main rehab. There are some examples of the work that's being done across the piece. Projects that are about to start. Again, the Camlock Lake there, Camlock, the impounding reservoir, the dam survey. So we've been working with the council quite closely, and some of the local councillors have been involved in this. We've been doing a dam condition survey so we can then put in place a scheme to ensure that that dam continues to operate and function for the next 50 years. And some of that we can pick up questions on that. Down at Newcastle, there was the Central Promenade there, the CSO, the Combined Sewer Overflow Upgrade Programme there at Patton's Bridge. Again, if you think about Newcastle and the tourist angle of Newcastle, you know, we hosted the Open Golf there a couple of years back, and that's a big piece. And then there's an ongoing programme of work where we're looking to replace lead communication pipes into individual properties. As we're doing a scheme on pipe replacement, then we'd be working in conjunction with householders as to how we take that through to the home as well. In terms of the quantums around some of that, there's a chart here across the two periods. So PC13 is the period from 2013 to the end of March 15 last year. That was a two-year price control. And then the 15-16 is the year that we're just about to complete at the end of March. Across those 2 years, we invested just under £323 million. And invested in the district out of that total quantum was just under £45 million of that was invested in this district. So it represents about just over 13.5% or almost 14% of our capital investment was invested within the district. So again, it's quite thinking about bang for buck and where the money gets spent, it's quite a high degree of the spend. If you think about right across the province, including Greater Belfast, we were spending about 15% of that total money in the district here in Newry Morning Down District. I talked about Camla Lake and Camla Dam here, and again, the photograph I guess shows this is part of the beautiful landscape here up towards South Armagh. And again, this I guess is something that could become a very strong tourist attraction for the area as well. It could start to attract visitor numbers, and it's already doing that in some degree in the Slieve Gullion area. It was featured actually in the Irish Times, which was an article this weekend about the Slieve Gullion as one of the leading walks in Ireland now. But we're doing some work there with the council, and we want to make improvements to Camla Dam to ensure they can continue to be used as a dam. We did a report back in 2013, and that highlighted some issues that we wanted to make sure we got after. We're doing this in conjunction with the council. It also provides 5 megalitres a day of water to the Greater Newry area. And as I say, we've been working with the council and working with some of the locals up there, and are now at a point where I think we're really seeking the cooperation of the council's planning department to take that through to the next stage of a series of schemes that we would allow them to start working on the site. Again, we've talked with locals and with the council about the safety processes in place with the council, and I've just set out a number of issues there at the bottom of that slide that we will look at and pick up during that planning process. So I suppose it is an example as well of, I think, a piece of collaborative work that Northern Ireland Water is working quite well with both the locals who use the lake there, as well as then the council officials and some of the council themselves to make sure that we can protect and improve what we do for this particular area. It's a good example of that kind of collaborative scheme. And I think the council and your council officers are to be congratulated as well for the support and the cooperation we've had with them in our approach there. In terms of education activity, the photographs you see here are our water bus. So we have a double-decker bus that's kitted out with classroom type amenities that we take around the school. And we visited about 18 primary schools within the council area will have been visited in 15-16. So just under 1,200 pupils get a chance to come on, join us in their own particular school, and you know, take a look at how we make water, how we distribute water, and what we do to treat the wastewater, what we do to keep the environment protected and healthy, and the key role that water has in everyday life, in all of our health, whether it's for children in school, or for the families, or for people in residents in old people's homes and so forth. So again, the water bus is a very successful piece of what we do. It's booked out for 2 or 3 years. There's more people wanted to come to their school than we have capacity to do today. So we visited about 1,200 people in the district. And I think here in Downpatrick, we've completed that area and we're starting to move back towards Newry now. I think on the 7th of March there's the first the programme there back in Newry. And equally then, the other thing that we have is down at the Silent Valley, which again most of you will be familiar with. There's an educational centre there, and we would host school visits there. Particularly during the spring terms and the early autumn terms, we would host a lot of the school trips there, coming to look at what we do there again as a complete visitor centre and an education centre. And we get very positive feedback from the district and from the schools in the district about the positive impact that programme has on the schools and the school children who enjoy it. In fact, Graham, who's sitting up at the back of the hall being very quiet, Graham was on a school visit today with the school bus, and he's come directly there from that to the meeting this evening. So there's a fair spread of activity that we're doing. We see our work has to be in very close collaboration with the council, with what's happening in your areas. And I wanted to give a sense this evening of lifting that message up a bit and thinking about the Newry and Mourne and Down district as our role within the health of the district, within supporting the development of the economy in the district, both the urban and the rural economy, and then thinking about our role in working with and trying to enhance the natural environment, which I think is a very important piece of what you all do within your Mourne Down district. So, the last couple of slides here, thing how to reach us, the details are up there. We have a 24/7 dedicated elected representative hotline, the number's there. The feedback we've had from all of you in the past is that that's something to be treasured, not to be taken away. So we're going to, Northern Ireland Water is going to commit to continue to make sure that hotline's in place. What we ask is that you don't give that number out to everybody else, because if it's busy with everybody else ringing it, then you guys can't get through on it. But again, we set that up a few years back, and we've had very strong support from local elected representatives right across the piece in terms of how useful that is. And then you can see the other contact details we have there on Facebook and social media and so on, which again we think is an important way of getting our message out. If we can get a message to you guys are picking that up and getting it onto your own social network, which again, that means that your citizens and our customers know what's happening, if there's a problem or if we're fixing a problem. So I'm happy to pause there and we can move on to questions, Chairman, if that's okay for you.
I just ask people to be as brief as possible, because we do want to move to the second part of the meeting where we're going to deal with any issues people have with flooding and that, etc. So who's first? Roisin.
Am I first?
You read.
Yeah. Sorry, Ronan. Thanks for the presentation. I represent people in the Camlar area, and everybody's very anxious that work will start as quickly as possible, both from a safety point of view and also because, it was the host at such a successful triathlon, and because we're really desperately trying to build on tourism, it's vitally important for locals that work would be finished for 2017. I mean, we know that it's not going to be available to them for this year. Would you still be confident that would be the case at this stage?
Well, if that was the original plans with the lake and the council area, then we would be pushing everything to make sure that happens. And I suppose that's back to that point, Roisin, where we want to make sure that's clearing the planning process as quickly as it can be, so we can then get the contractors on site, mm-hmm. and get the work began in good time, so we can finish it in good time.
Okay.
Thanks, Roisin. Dermot?
Oh, thank you, Chair. And at the top of the agenda there, a new treatment plant at our toll, Bower Glass, like out there, is when will it be fully in operation? Because, as you know, there were a lot of fish processed there in our glass. And at the present time now, when it's heavy rain, because of the sewage system that's present in there, untreated sewage goes in, untreated waste goes in at the dock, at the north dock, so it does. So all I want to know, Chair, is when will the new plant, and it's been there for a bit of time now, be in performing fully as our toll?
Well, again, Graham, I might ask you to pick up on the detail there on the plant, but you're right to point out it's part of this, you know, our role in the economy, making sure that we have infrastructure in place to support the local economy, in this case the fish industry, the fish processing, which is important for this area. Graham, in terms of the completion date of the scheme, are you able to comment?
I presume, thanks, Dermot, for the question. You're talking about our glass wastewater treatment works.
Yeah, out of our toll. It's built out of our toll, so it does. It's not in the town, not in the village itself, you know, but it contains all the.
the works itself now is in operation at the moment.
Is it fully in operation?
It is, yes. Uh-huh.
Well, then, why are we still having some untreated sewage going into the North Dock? At the North Dock?
I don't know. I'll pick up on that. To
okay,
see.
Right.
Mark, you're next then.
Yeah, thanks. I think I'd put this question in as part of the pre-thing, so maybe it is going to be picked up later on, but it's regarding to the new waste treatment centre in Ballinahinch. There was some issues from residents about smell coming back into the buildings during the heavy rain period. Has there been any issues with the capacity of that upgraded facility?
Again, Ballinahinch has been completed, and I wasn't aware of any odour complaints. But wastewater treatment works, they do smell from time to time, and that is one of the problems with treatment works. But certainly, if there's, I wasn't aware of any complaints.
No, it's not at the treatment works itself. It's in houses on the Hillsborough Road, in the Lime Trees area, and some town centre properties. Coming back through their toilets.
Right. Well, I may just take that away with me and come back to you on that, if you don't mind.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Glenn.
Thanks, Chair. Just a few wee things I've jotted down here. Just on the likes of the facilities up at the Silent Valley, quite a number of people have contacted me. How much effort are you intending to put into keeping the grounds cut back and along here, because there's a lot of footpaths and stuff around there, they're sort of getting overgrown? That's just one question for you. And are you planning to expand the tourism aspect of the Silent Valley? Another one, just on leaking pipes, there's one particular pipe in the Ballinran Road in Kilkeely, it's been leaking now, so it is, for some considerable time, and nothing seems to be done about it. I've reported it a couple of times, and it hasn't been sorted out. One other major issue in Kilkeely is the treatment plant in Kilkeely, there's times the smell in Kilkeely is just unbelievable and make you ill, so it would. I know you do address it, so you do, but why does it keep reoccurring all the time? Just could it not be resolved once and for all? Another question for you is the treatment, you know, the new pipeline going from Ballymartin there up to Kilkeely, and they're building another pumping station. When do you think will that be fully operational? And the last thing I have just on the list here, the elected helpline. There's times I would ring that, and to be quite honest with you, you may as well be ringing the public helpline. It's very hard to get any joy out of it.
In terms of the response, or?
Well, whenever you ring up, you may. If you ring from the public helpline, you just get the same person, so you do, and you don't really get anything more effective out of them one way or the other. That's all the questions I have there, sir.
Henry.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman.
Sorry, Henry, the system seems to be off the left again.
I think so, yeah. Okay, thank you. Yes, I have issues as well with the water line. It's some of the simplistic things that works out right, you know, but at the time when the high level of water rainfall came through there, certainly I had issues with it in terms of the real honest response from the people concerned. I felt there was just layer one, and I think that, to me now, my impression from it was that those people were well trained up in trying to bat you off and to make sure that you didn't get through and didn't and won't get through to tier two, to people who you really need to talk to, the engineers and management. And you just kept going around in circles, I know, and I think I may have put it in on one of the on the issues of complaint, but there's a couple number of houses in the Bourne area were backing up with sewage from the pumping station, wasn't fit to take the capacity with all the water and the problems that are going into it. And I certainly didn't get a proper response, really, that, you know, that the situation mirrors it. That wasn't, it went on for maybe nearly 2 weeks, still hasn't been resolved. And so that, I would be quite critical of that particular, and one was the person in the water and no willingness to hand you on to, you know, after a series of phone calls from myself and the occupant of the house and houses in the area, you know, that nobody seemed to be, you know, capable of or taking you on to the next stage. And, you know, I don't want to maybe bring it up now, because if you are taken, you may have it, you know, later on in your presentation, you're going to deal with those complaints. But certainly I would even talk to you after if you don't, if you're happy enough to do that.
Yep.
Right, thanks.
Henry.
Thanks, Chair. Chairman, it's always refreshing to see Ronan Larkin, because I can remember in the dark days of the big freeze a couple of years back, whenever I could get no help at all, Ronan took over, and you were outstanding at that time, and only for you, I don't know what I would have done. But there's a few issues just... Glenn has covered the issue of Kilkeel sewage works. And there are times there, any mild period at all now, the smell just becomes unbearable. And that was for most of last autumn, when it was very mild. The people in that area actually had to leave their homes on many occasions. One of the other issues is, where you do work along the roads, sometimes the reinstatement work may not always be first class. And some of the manhole covers and that, you know, the tarmac around those becomes exposed, and you do get tires clipped and stuff like that. Sewage in the Analong River, it's been an ongoing issue now for a good period of time, and we just don't seem to be able to get to the bottom of it, no resolution of it, and it's very, very annoying. You know, so we're trying to develop Analong as a tourist attraction, and there's restaurants there and whatever, and it is very off-putting for people when they walk over the bridge and you can see all the sewage accumulated up against the bridge there. One thing yesterday, Ballynoe, outside Downpatrick here, they had a water cut for 18 hours. And, you know, most people can adapt for 18 hours, but any man that is, you know, cattle or livestock in store, they consume huge amounts of water and they would stress out very, very quickly. And just, I know the farmers not in that area would like some reassurance that the infrastructure there is up to speed, because it came as a shock to them not to be off for so long. Thanks very much, Chairman.
Henry, Stevie.
Thanks, Chair. Non-flooded related questions. First of all, I suppose I should caveat this quickly by saying that I empathise with you, because I believe that there was a lack of investment under direct rural ministers for 40 years. So we're always playing catch up here, and you could throw money at our system forever and still wouldn't be right. But could you give us an up-to-date figure for what our leakage is at the minute, specifically the district's leakage against the average across the north? And then more specifically, in regards to Hansborough wastewater treatment works, I understand there's been numerous issues with vandalism. A lot of these were related to noise, and noise is still an issue. What seems to be happening is that the system is an automated system. The DO controls when the pumps don't come on, the blowers, sorry, don't come on to put the oxygen in. But for some reason, the pumps seem to be blowing air a lot more frequently when it's dry. And from a technical point of view, I can't understand that, because when it's wet. Because when we have a lot of rainwater, it's a combined storm and sewer in the Castlewell area, and we have a lot of rainwater, obviously with a lot of oxygen in the water. Why the blowers are even on at that time seems fairly strange. also, it's been reported to me by some of your own staff that emergency stop buttons as a result of the vandalism have been encased. Obviously, that's a health and safety issue, and if somebody could come back to us and say that that's going to be resolved, because that's not acceptable. And as a result of all these happenings, I'm aware that Ansper Wastewater Treatment Works has went into bypass a number of times in the last number of years. And could somebody provide us with some sort of quantitative report on how many times it's went into bypass and any associated environmental impact? Because when we're in bypass, we're dumping straight into the Ansper River, and therefore it's affecting our beaches and everything. So that's all. Thanks.
Willie?
Thanks, Chair. Non-flood related questions. You're very welcome, anyway, first of all. My points are in regards to Newcastle Wastewater Treatment Plant. And it has been a success, both the holding tank and Castle Park as well. It's made a huge difference to the area. In regards to the treatment works itself, there was an undertaking from NI Water that they would paint the facade of the treatment works, because there's a mosaic to the fishing disaster, Newcastle fishing disaster, on the wall. So it was just to make it more pleasing on the eye and let it stand out, you know. That was an undertaking that was to happen. And there was also the Legacy Council bought the generator house at the Newcastle Harbour at the treatment works, and it hasn't been handed over as yet. There's a delay, I think NI Water are looking to sell the generator. It's a massive piece of kit, obviously. But the community are really keen, you know, to get working with the council and get ownership of the building. We're looking to put in a water sports forum, you know, bringing all users in the area together, along with boat owners and the local community, you know, to start making use of that building. So anything you can do to maybe speed that up, it would be welcome.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Willie. Thanks for grabbing.
Thank you, Chair. No, it's a couple of quick ones. Into the likes of your new metering system for your commercial properties. Could you give me a quick update on the price throughout the six counties? You're doing a full review and a change over from the old metering system into the new metering system when people aren't paying for these meters through their bills. Where is it exactly coming from? The other issue would be the Drumboy Road in the year 2016, this road, with the amount of 10 houses on this road, there's no running water. They're running about with a bucket to the well.
Where's that road, sorry?
Drumboy Road. It's up in Slieve Crib.
Right.
And the Mahermy O Road as well. It's also a road that leads out onto Dolly's Bray Road where there's no running water.
Okay, Paul. Robert?
On the old Grand Jury Road, there seems to be a problem with the sewage works. There's one of the half of the grating actually pops up when it comes heavy rain. The sewage spills out onto the road. They just seem to come back, set the grating on, hose the rest down the drain whenever it goes away. But surely there's meant to be some way of speeding the wee pumping station up on the Crossguard Road to take that away. It has happened all winter, but it doesn't seem to. Every time it comes heavy rain, half the grating pops up, floats down the road a bit. Sewage spills out, They wash it away. Surely that wee pumping station Eller needs upgraded.
To the pumping station may need
upgraded. On the Crossguard Road,
if we're looking at it all, Graham, or whether that's something they need to go out and take a look and test the capacity of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's been very heavy rain all winter. And
The stormwater seems to be
well
that great.
It may well hit a capacity issue, but it can be something we can take a look at and see.
That's Old Grand
Jury Road.
Crossguard?
No, Old Grand Jury Road, Stainfield.
Yeah, Robert. Michael.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Ronan, for the presentation. And I suppose credit where credit's due on occasions. And I think they spent last year $45 million out of $322 million is to be appreciated. I know that a scheme in an area can make an awful difference to that area. And we in Warren Point Restrever have been flooded out in Flermont Gardens and Charlotte Street, St. Jude's and St. Coleman's now for many years, and that seems to have been fixed, so credit there. I have a number of issues, Chair. I don't think you're taking the issues directly now, but But I do feel that there's a big difference about your capital schemes, about going in and doing the schemes and doing them well, and the regular maintenance of the network are two different things. But we'll come to that later.
Thank you.
Well done.
Okay, Mike. Charlotte.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ronan. Just want to reiterate the points that Councillor Kiar was making there in relation to particularly St Comans and St Jude's and Restever. However, Roland, there is, whilst out the front of them houses has in the main been sorted, when there's an exceptional downpour, has there been two or three this winter.
Relation to any flooding issues that have, we're going to take after when we have all the three agencies with us and to deal with them at that stage.
That's no different than anybody else, Chair, the points they were making.
You're getting into an issue of actual flooding that's still happening. That's why Michael asked me there before he went on.
All right, sorry, Chair.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Chair. Valerie.
Just Ronan, if you could possibly get me an update on the Windmill Road and the situation that's occurring up there as we speak. Just the resident has asked if we can get an update on to see where we go next with it.
On Windmill Road?
The Windmill
Is this
Road.
In relation to the big trunk main that was going in there,
yes.
The work there?
No, this is in relation to a river that's practically running down a hill out onto a main road.
Right.
That's flooding. Sorry, Valerie.
Sorry.
We can
pick that up and then you'll get the detail of that as well, yeah.
Okay. There's nobody else, is there? That's it. Do you want to make any last comments, Ronan?
No, I mean, part of the value we get out of coming here is we get to pick up with some of these points. There's a bit of work here for us to be looking at with each of the points that are raised, but we want to continue to do that because very much we see that we provide the service to the people that you represent, so that's what we aim to do.
Okay,
thank you.
Just to see that number you have for the members to ring, the 0345,
yes.
Is that a premium number?
I don't think there's any charge to you on that number.
I think
we have to pay, we have a line there, or it's just a basic local charge, but it's not set up for a high premium number.
If we're ringing from a mobile, that's a...
It depends on your mobile, but we have tried to set those lines up that the cost is minimised to the caller.
Right. Could you actually get
it? I can check that.
Pass that on, just what the actual cost of it is. Okay.
Could
I then ask our representatives from Rivers Agency and Transport NI if they want to, maybe, if you want to come up along the front here, and then you can use the mics as well.
Space here.
There's one here, isn't
it? We'd give them two spaces.
You get up here.
I'm going to hear him put the land in the number two.
Can I welcome Jim Martin from Rivers Agency and obviously Cindy Noble, who most of us would be well aware of, from Roads Agency, or Transport NI as they call themselves now. I suppose, councillors, what I'm going to try to do is try to get through the areas and deal with those areas before we move on to another one, instead of going all over the place. So, for the virtue that I'm from Crotleave, we'll start with Crotleave. So, Michael, I'll go with you and then followed in with Jarlath and then whoever else indicates then after that. You're not called Michael. Sorry. No, we can't. Ian has still to collate all that information, and he hasn't quite finished, or he's throwing something up at the back here. He's waving it at the back then, Charlie. Right. The bones of it, right.
Do you want to hand it back to the members, Ian?
Yeah.
Ian, we need...
So these are actually hot off the press. I hope you all have your magnifying glasses with you.
You're inside something that was wrong.
And just as they have been handed out, I could also ask councillors, bear in mind that most councillors will want, or if not all, to speak on this. Can we keep our comments as brief as possible as well, so that we all get our opportunity? Michael, maybe do you want to go ahead?
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Jim, Cindy, you're also very welcome. And I think it is good to have Water Service, Rivers Agency and Roads all at the one meeting. Because the number of times they would go out to on a site and say, oh, that's not us, that's Rivers Agency. No, no, that's Water Service. And maybe an example of that would be, it's almost embarrassing sometimes when the Restrepo Road floods. Yes, we have very heavy rain, but when the Restrepo Road floods and the tide is full out, that's embarrassing because you can't get through the road because it's closed and you look over and there's acres and acres and acres of wide open space. It's down to gullies, it's down to gullies maintenance, and I think that probably one of the biggest issues across our district, particularly when there's heavy rain, is the fact that gully cleaning isn't happening as it should, and it's not coming up to the standard that it should. It's not happening on a regular enough basis. The Strever Road's a great example. The avenue in Bourne is another example. It was badly flooded again not so very long ago. And I think that there's some of these issues that we keep going back to that we're going to have to sit down and put in long-term solutions. Another issue that's been going on for a long time is the junction of Dunallan Road and Dallin Road, which is causing a lot of grief to some of the neighbours. And maybe more specifically for Rivers Agency is the issues that we had this year during the flooding with the McGannon River and it coming over, flooding over the bank and flooding out stables. People in small business that don't even qualify for the £1,000 thing. So there are a few big issues there that I think that if we all sat down together, we could solve fairly quickly without that much investment. But I do think that maintenance is probably the biggest issue for us now. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Michael. Jarrett.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to refer back. I'm not sure who's taking this, but St Coleman's and St Jude's, whenever the system was overwhelmed there a couple of times during the winter, the foul was coming up through the household drains and indeed on the gullies in St Coleman's. I referred to earlier, in the main, Roland, those issues of a number of years ago have been completely solved to the front of them houses. But there just seems to be something happening there when the system is overwhelmed. Now, it does disappear eventually. However, there's a hygiene issue there because it is foul and it's very, very visible. Will I go on to the next point, Chair? Or?
Work away, Jonathan.
Okay. The other thing was, Cindy, thank you for coming this evening. Those roads up around Green Park Road, Drumcess Road, Lovely Ray and Knockborra, I suppose anything that is at the lower end of fields, for want of a better term, when the gullies are absolutely jammed, packed with gravel and silt and aren't being cleaned, I mean, they're rendered useless and they may as well not be there. And that the water absolutely becomes a torrent for two or three times a year then. And somebody is always on the tail end of that. Now, the other one, a couple I had there was, and in fairness to Paul Murphy, he has been trying to do his best to get this sorted. There's a collapsed gully under the road on the Newry side of where Goss's Oil is there. It was a private contractor issue going back a couple of years ago. But the correspondence in that, just not on Paul's point, I might add, from I think it was Farrens or somebody, whoever it was sent to, it's just been ignored. And then the final point is there's an ongoing one, Cindy, as you know, on the crossing road. Now, we thought we had that resolved about 4 or 6 weeks ago. And you're into, I know there's a private landowner there is responsible. But I must express the frustration of the landowners who are most affected by this, but actually have no role or no say in what's causing the problems. I think it was an undesignated water course, and the Rivers Agency had indicated that because it was undesignated, there was nothing they could do about it. But it's very, very frustrating, and I just want to get that across. And thanks for listening. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Jarrett. Daglan?
Chair. I'm wondering, my name is not on this, onto the very back of it, but certainly I fed in comments through Suzanne. I thought that they were being included in this. They don't seem to have been. Anyhow, I'll continue. Cindy's probably delighted I've missed the first 50 of them, but the second 50. No, the first one really was, again, the Darlacka Bridge and the designated waterway, our river there as well. I just reiterate, I see, Michael, you probably have it on and Sinead, but we're looking really, you know, for everybody to get together there and see what can be done at Darlacka. It had happened before. This is very despair a wee bit. Unless there's work going on in the background that we don't know about. But that flooded and continues to flood at specific times, out over the top of the bridge, flooding a couple of properties, businesses and private houses there, causing a lot of damage and uncertainty for people there. Now, it strikes me, you know that's a problem. You know, sorry, Jim, you actually know that's a problem. So what actually has been done about it, or if not, what is going to be done about it? Because it just can't continue that. The other issue I had again had written on was there is a designated river again running in the Donaghy-Gay Road, the Bourne Road area, townland Donaghy-Gay and Bourne, and where the river actually overflows onto the Bourne Road and then travels across the avenue, endangering properties across there. That also is joined by water running from the Milltown Street. And also joined it on the avenue as well with a gentleman who said since passed away, his garage actually was flooded this time, you know. Those are just a couple of outstanding ones, I suppose, where there's designated waterways there that comes certainly was under your jurisdiction, Jim. There's at the end of the day, Cindy, there's the general situation is very, very bad in terms of even the follow-up to some of the flooding, you know, where the gravel and stuff has come down over the road over the last 6 months with all the water, with the water washing out of everywhere. There's still, you know, piles of stones lying in roads quite scattered through the area. Some of the gullies are still been blocked up. There's still quite some serious issues there. And certainly, we've been onto some of the staff there, highlighting them in the emails to you know, but we'd like to see sort of a speeding up of the process. People are getting very frustrated now, and I suppose especially due to the fact that you hadn't done much the last 12 months. You know, I understood there was a sort of moratorium on a lot of the works, so there's a hell of a lot of catch up to be done there, and that's basically it. Thanks.
Keith Hagan, Gillian.
A few have already been touched on there, but as well as the Glen Road, the flooding that was there, I know that there is a landowner's issue there as well, but in case it's more than that, I'm not sure. The Burn Bridge Road, there seems to be considerable water lies there, so if there's any, just before you go to the Burn Plan, just seems to dip there. That no, before just before that, the dip on it. Also the Bavon with the gullies, which caused a problem flooding of a garden, and the Atnagun Road, not where that work had to be done, but just further up at Morgan's. Okay. I have raised it, but just... I don't want to go on any further.
Have you, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody else? And just from my own side of things... Michael has already touched on it. There is the Restrepo Road Warren Point, the Orchard St Leonard's. And again, speaking with the residents there, they've had meetings with the Rivers Agency. They've also had meetings with Transport NI. I've spoke to Cindy in the last number of weeks about this as well. And they did seem to be given the impression that there was a plan in place to would help alleviate the concerns, but nothing has ever happened, and that's come back over the last couple of years. In the last 3 years, I think that road has been closed off on several occasions because it's just completely flooded. It's actually worse this year than ever before. So could we ask that you seriously look at that? And the other one then, somebody touched on the flooding at the Darlacka. There's also then a problem at with what they call Brady's Lane. It's just off the Lower Corrigs Road. Again, Cindy, I've spoke to you on this, and I think is it some other agency involved in it as well? the Environment Agency, and if something needs to be done, that the residents need to be spoke to along that road, and needs to be something done with it, because it's continuously flooding on them. I suppose that's the Crat Leave issues. What I would say is the majority of the issues that were touched on or raised by all the councillors are on that sheet that Ian has passed out, bar one or two. So they should be emailed in. So I don't know if you want to touch on them.
Sure.
Yeah. As briefly as you can, Jim. No conscious with to get around everyone.
Yes.
Robert, I'm doing Crat Leave first. Right. It's on the list. I'll follow the list. The next one on the list is Rowallan. Eh? Well, then you get it all to yourself. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, Jim Martin, Rivers Agency. So I'll just take a run through some of the issues that was raised just in the order that I have noted down here. So first of all, the St Leonard's on the Rostrever Warren Point Road. Rivers Agency has plans to put a new culvert there, which should help alleviate the thing. We want to do it in coordination just with the roads in relation to the closure of the road. So it's not going to be done before the summer season now. We can't do the work during the summer season.
Okay. Sorry, could it maybe just come back on that there? The residents told me they were told that by is maybe a year or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That work was to be carried out. And to tell us now that, you know, I think regardless of the summer season, I think if the work needs done, it needs to be done.
I think with regards to the closure of the A2, the difficulty is that the diversion route for the A2 is obviously another A-class road, so it's quite a lengthy, proper diversion that we would have to put in place or ask Rivers Agency to put in place. And the general rule that we've always tried to operate is that we wouldn't have any significant roadworks on the A2 during the summer season, particularly because as we view it as a tourist route. So that would be a substantial closure for a reasonable period of time, and we would like to try and program that during the non-summer months.
Could we expect the work to be done then October, November?
If we can agree the time with Rivers Agency, we'll be trying to facilitate that.
Because I think what the residents need to see is that there is something happening and the works are programmed.
I can't give absolutes, but the plan is to get it done this year.
Okay.
My Gannon Rath Road, so we're investigating that. It was about is a horse riding or stable centre or something on the Rath Road beside the Gaelic pitch?
Yeah.
So we're carrying out investigation on that, and it might go to what we call a feasibility study. Drumsesk, there's flooding there, and there's a development close to where the flooding is, so we're working with the developer to put in, I think he's going to put pipes in, and we're going to do works to the inlet to solve that one. Derry Lecca Bridge, Hilltown Road. Yes, there has been historical flooding there for a long number of years. We carried out maintenance works there about 2 years ago, taking trees out just opposite the pub. The levels in that river over the winter there were extremely high, as they were all over the country. But we're talking, I think we have about 40 years records in that river, and the flood levels over the winter there were the highest ever. Now that's not to say that it floods in lower levels of flood as well. So we're going to have another look at it. But all these works are down to what's called cost benefit. So the benefit out of the works has to exceed the cost of the works. And that particular one, you know, it's a big river. It involves works to the road and all the rest of it, and it's likely going to be expensive. I would just see. So there was a mention of the Crossan Road as well. Was there somebody mentioned?
Yeah.
Cross. Rivers Agency has researched this particular flood location, and we're unable to find the path of the original watercourse. So before we can take any action on in relation to enforcement, we need to have proof of where the existing watercourse. I don't know the thing on site, but this is the notes that I have. So if anybody could cast any light on the line of the original watercourse, it would be helpful. I may have missed some points there. Is there anyone that was left out that Rivers Agency would be involved in?
Don't
Guy.
guy.
Number 18.
Adjacent to the amenity park. That's down for transport anyway. So I'm not aware of that, but if it involves us, maybe road service could look at it first of all. Well, I noticed here that it's down as Transport NI, so maybe if Transport NI could have a look at it, then if they can't resolve it, they could refer it
is
to
that
us.
Number 18, Declan? Number 18 on the Ains list? No.
No, that's beside the amenity.
That's beside the Dock Pond.
If you'd have went into the middle, you'd have drowned.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll help.
So if we get a notebook and look into that one.
But basically, most of them issues are on that sheet. On the avenue. The avenue. Cindy, probably.
Michael, as you know, we're doing the footpath scheme further on up on Milltown Street. And as part of that, I'm also given a contribution. So we will be resurfacing in the next week or so the section from the avenue up. And part of that is we're going to be looking at the drainage and making sure the drainage on Milltown Street is working effectively. The difficulty, as you know, is that all that drainage from Milltown Street does connect down into the avenue and goes across into what would have been Mr. McGuigan's property, and that's a designated watercourse there. So, you know, it's making sure that all the pipe work to get it into that pipe can work effectively and efficiently. So hopefully with the resurfacing, you know, all those issues about what we talked about before, the water not getting into the gullies in Milltown Street, we'll make sure that the shape and level of the road is adequate, and also all the pipe work there is adequate, and it does go to the correct locations, you know. So I think you'll see a wee bit of improvement, but as I say, all that water does end up into that designated system, which goes down through that property and back into the golf driving range, you know. So it's a case of trying to make sure that it's captured at the right locations and gets into the system. Well, that, you know, our outlet for our drainage is down Milltown Street in towards the avenue, you know.
No, Declan, I want to move on because there's loads of other councillors want to get their say in as well. I'm going by the list here that's in front of me, so Rowallan is next up. So any councillors from the Rowallan? You're not from Rowallan, Henry, you're Mourns.
Just
Robert? Okay, no problem, Henry. Thank you.
I have a few issues out around Rowallan here. There's one on the A7, just as you come into Sainfield. It's at the Ballygown turnoff. The water comes across the road out of the hills. It's where the widening scheme actually taken place about 10 years ago, and it's still flooding. And I don't know how many times Road Service hasn't looked at it, and it runs down Windmill Road and floods out Windmill Road. And it also runs down to the bridge outside the high school in Sainfield. And it swims across the road there. And I can't understand why we can't actually drill a hole through the bridge down into the river, because the grating's actually above the bridge and it still floods. I just can't take it away because that grating is sitting full. It's silted up. Also on the Carrieduff Road, which is a part of the A7, nearly every grating along that road, there's 37 gratings between there and Carrieduff, and nearly every one is full. As far as I can see, there's only three working. And then at the top of the main street in Sainfield, at the mini roundabout, that grating hasn't worked since it went in, and it floods down and out the Lisburn Road to another bridge. And it's actually at times it's impossible, and I can't understand that bridge again, why we can't drill a hole down through the bridge and let the water into the river, because the river runs below it. Like, there's bound to be an easy fix there in both those. I'll leave it at that. There's plenty more, but I'll leave it at that. If we get them two going, at least I might get my head shard and see if we Main Street.
You're the only Rowallan councillor, are you, Robert? Aye? Yep. Solo the night. Steve Krub. Stephen.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I have two. I'll do the easy one first. There is sewage flooding in O'Donnell Close in Castlewellan. It's historical. It's been happening for a long time. Our belief is that O'Donnell Close is the lowest point on a gravity-fed line where it sweeps down to meet the Newcastle Road pumping station. It used to be a treatment works and a pumping station. It's for NI Water for us. And it's sweeping, running on a 90 degree short radius bend on a 160 sewer. The belief is if that was changed to a long radius bend, that it would make an awful difference. It's the old story. It blocks up with bits of stones and cement, but mainly the likes of nappies, and we've been working together collectively to try and educate the masses of the houses beside it. But if that bend was replaced with something long radius, I think it would make a difference. More complex is the Ansborough treatment work flooding. What I would say is that the factors to Ansborough seem to be historical makeup of the old linen mills and the infrastructure that supported them through the Forest Park, and the basic geography of being on the bottom of a hill, both sides, and they're in a valley. It's been a multi-agency approach so far, so Rivers have done their bit by putting up a flood wall, and I would just ask Jim and team if the performance of the flood wall has stood up well the whole way through all this flooding event. But one question, there is a flap valve that comes from the road service infrastructure that would feed into the, and when the river level rises above the flap valve, does the flap valve still open, or is it entrapping the water at that stage? Somebody could let me know. But my understanding from talking to your guys is that the pumps that are pumping water from Ansborough Village, combined storm and sewer, up to the wastewater treatment works are being replaced with two higher level pumps, and that increase in capacity should double capacity there, and that is being tempered with also increasing the pipe infrastructure, so you have a reservoir effect in the pipe, and lastly you are putting in an additional gully. Could you tell me what that them pumps have been designed to, because the level of water that we're seeing there against the increase, we don't think is going to be enough to stop the flooding event happen. Is it being designed for a 1 in 100 year storm event? And if so, how many 100 year storm events have we had in the last 10 years? The site seems suitable for a sud system as opposed to just pumping it away. The water that is causing the problem is not sewage. The water that is causing the problem is water that is coming from Castlewellan Lake predominantly, and they hold the water as well as they can up there in the forestry, and they've done a great job. But the reality for them is the ice dieback, they had to cut down a lot of trees, and that means that the flash floods are hitting the lake a lot quicker, and they won't be able to hold the water. So if there was a sud system, retention tank, settlement tank, and hydro break, and then gradually released through the flap valve into the river, could we possibly take a lot of that water out of the system or hold it in a retention type system until it goes in? Thanks.
Thanks, Stevie. Mark?
Sure,
yeah. Mark on Sleep Crew.
Yes.
Thank you.
I just seen
my
name here in the sheet and I was just wondering what was.
No, I said it was going by the DE area, not by name.
Thanks, sir. Just maybe clarifying on number 24. I take it, Paul, you don't know Macaramory Road. Or does that exist?
Macaramory?
No, is it? Which is, I raised the one on Macartumpney Road, which isn't on it. It was. No, I put it on the sheet. Did I? Think so. But it's there's a few just to run by. The Macartumpney Road, the Ballymglave Road. There's a number of areas in that. With any sort of rain fall at all, there's a few flooding areas on it. It seems to be issues on the Margaret Hepney Road anyway, because the road's on the side of a hill. It just seems to be gully issues. So one of the questions I have on the sheet is just about, is there some means of logging those that they can be dealt with at during the year, as opposed to at times when you're under pressure. Another ongoing one there is on the Drummond S Road out of Ballinahinch, just above the Mill Bridge. There's a manhole in the middle of it. As you know, that's the main thoroughfare. There's a manhole in the middle of the road, and every time there's any amount of rain at all, the water's coming out of that manhole. It's in the centre of the lane heading towards Newcastle. It runs down that side of the road till it gets to the bridge, then crosses the road and goes up the Spa Road, and then causes ponding at the bottom of the Spa Road. Again, that road sits above the level of the fields beside it, and the river is beside. Now, I understand maybe you aren't allowed to divert water into someone's field, but it's maybe only a 20-metre stretch to get that into a river. And again, we have an issue there with when the frost comes, it becomes treacherous. I know we had an issue on further out the road a bit, which was resolved this week, on the running down from the end of the junction of Ballymacleave Road down towards Millbrook, but I believe that was resolved. But the other ones, the other points I have it are already on the sheet, so I don't think there's any point in going over them again, is there?
Mr. Tony, are they points to your caption?
Yeah.
Cindy, yeah. Yeah.
They're new issues. They're not ones that are on the sheet.
Yeah.
Can you forward them on maybe to Ian tomorrow just that he can collate them along with the other ones, Mark?
Yeah.
As well, just for reference. Very, very quick. Robert. Councillor Gribben.
Good morning, Chair. Leitham Village, we're all aware of the Leitham Village. It was shocking to think there that you were looking for somebody, the public's help there, to find out the water source in the crossing road. I was just wondering, Jim, did the Agriculture Department not spend millions of pounds on new maps update to find out exactly where all the rivers were running and where they were coming from, especially when you indicated to myself and me and you was in Leitham one day at a site visit, and there's a certain river that's not even on your maps that it even exists. Isn't that correct, Jim? The other one would be that the flooding within Leitham and new planning permission for housing, River Agency need to take another close check at the Leitham Village. There's no way that we're going to be fit to give planning permission to these houses in Leitham with the ongoing flooding issue. So, Jim, could you give us a quick feedback on the flooding within that village? Back on the DRD, it would be the Marhamio Road. There's an ongoing issue where the farmer has diverted the water out of his field onto the public road. This is a road that's been used by school buses, and it's a very busy road, and with the highlight of the frost, it freezes over. So it's treacherous. The other one would be, could you give us a quick update on your gully cleaners? How many gully cleaners have you got in Uri? Are they in mechanical working order? How many gully cleaners have you got in Down District? And are they in mechanical working order?
Yeah, I can give you an update with regards to our gully maintenance. Since April last year, as you'll be aware, because of the limited budget, we were prevented from using external contractors, and we then ramped up our internal resources. So currently based in the Newry depot, we have two gully emptiers. One of them has jetting capacity. I understand that in the Castlenavon depot, we also have two based there. Obviously, there is issues occasionally with breakdowns and things, but essentially we're running two out of Newry and two, possibly at this moment, only one out of Castlenavon.
And would it be fair to say, that the Castlenavon one was such a big area that it's fit to cope with maybe the likes of 600 or 700 gullies to be cleaned out in the space of a week? Surely the mechanical order of that machinery is bound to break down and come under pressure.
I think the difficulty is that previously we have relied on external contractor resources to deliver our gully cleaning schedules. Due to the resource limitations we were faced with in this financial year, we were unable to do that. So we did try and then seek internal resources. And it is fair to say that the level of internal resources available to us would not be able to deliver the service that we would like to be able to deliver to the district. But we are trying, and by what we're doing is prioritising the areas that we need to do, and then delivering jetting facilities for those areas that need, and being reactive as well as doing kind of the routine maintenance work as well.
Okay, and a quick one for yourself, Jim. The Ballylock Road, could you give us a quick update of it? What way River Agency is taking on the flooding issue in the Ballylock Road with the local farm owner? Is it?
Go ahead.
sorry, is that all the sleep group councillors then? Yeah, they've all spoken. Yeah, just follow up on any issues that were raised there.
Okay, I'll just go through them then in the order that they were raised. Maybe so. The first one about the flap valve in Amsborough. The flap valve works on the principle of the balance of water. So if the water on the outside of the flap valve in the river is higher than the water on the inside, then the flap valve will close. Immediately the water in the river falls below the water on the inside, the flap valve opens and discharges. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Leitrim Village, just in relation to the water course that we weren't aware of, it wasn't an open water course as such. It was an artificial water course that was cut through a hill by the Ansley Estate or something like that. So Rivers Agency hadn't a map of that one. So, and in relation to the one then on the Crossan Road, Rivers Agency has researched the historic maps, but can't find the line of the water course. So what I'm saying is, if anybody has local knowledge, we're all ears. So the other one then was the Ballylock Road. That's close to Walter Watson's, is it? Or Ballylock? No, sorry. Yes, so Rivers Agency has raised that with the landowner, and the landowner, there's a blockage in the river there, so the landowner has agreed to remove that whenever the ground conditions improve. Does that sound like the location? Yeah. I think that, was there any other for Rivers Agency?
Anything missed there? What about Robert's idea of drilling holes through bridges?
It may seem a very simplistic solution, but generally it depends very much on the design and the structure that you're dealing with, and it would have to be looked at on a specific location basis. Obviously, you can't go drilling through masonry arch structures, which an awful lot of our structures would be, and if it's a newer structure, there should be a provision made for drainage. But I'm happy to take those locations on board and talk to our structures people with regards to them.
Okay. All right, we move on to Newry then. Charlie.
Whatever. You sound so keen, Mickey, to bring me in, whatever you do. It's good to see Cindy here anyway, and could I just endorse Henry's remarks about Ronan Larkin at the time of the big freeze. I never got an opportunity to come in at the time. Congratulate Ronan for the sterling work he's done at that time, and it has to be acknowledged. Cindy, you mentioned something about gully cleaning, right, and you couldn't afford to outsource it like in the past. Well, it's a nice decent change to see the local crews out and about cleaning gullies, because as far as I could make out, in the length of time that I had seen the contract outsourced, I have never seen gullies from that firm that were supposed to be doing it cleaning gullies up where I live anyway, for certain, being parochial in that. And that goes for all aspects. They had the triple contract, if you know, they had gullies and weeding and all of that. And they're, I have to say, the worst in the world. They come up in quads at 100 miles an hour up Canal Street. And women with prams and children had to scatter on the middle of the road. But anyway, back to the flooding again. When it's raining heavily in Newry, and so you used to be based in Newry, I think you're in Craigavon now most of the time, aren't you? You should get someone to go out when it's raining heavily in Newry, just take a cursory glance at all the streets in Newry. The gullies need seriously looked at. Now, there's flooding on the Warren Point Road, there's flooding at Buttercrane on the opposite side, on the canal side, there's flooding on the opposite side, the Copper Grill, there's flooding on the Matter Road, there's flooding on Canal Quay from the Hermitage Corner right down past Phoenix at times. Now, there's a lot of work to be done to correct all those problems, Cindy, and I know you will work your way diligently through them while you still have a responsibility and you're drawn towards Newry, but I think you're moving to higher ground now. You'll be away, we'll not maybe see you, we'll not be able to contact you, I think, in a couple of months' time. But in the meantime, you've got a few extra shillings, so there's a challenge for you. Check all the gullies.
It's not too bad,
anyway. No.
No.
All right.
Right, well, again, it was the Windmill Road one. I'm just looking to see if I can get an update on it. The last I had known about it was that there had been a meeting with NIW, the Rivers Agency, and the council on it. It is a serious issue, and the resident is totally frustrated.
Is this the resident number 14?
Yeah.
I appreciate that, Valerie. I attended a meeting last week with Rivers Agency, NIW, and myself, and also the council, and I can assure you that we are all dealing with that. It's very similar to the situation that we have on Crossan Road. It's an undesignated watercourse that we've picked up from the landfill site that belongs to the council, and we've managed to follow it through with a lot of work on behalf of NIW and ourselves. Through down through two properties, I think it's 7A, and then it comes across the road, and then it goes into 14 and number 14. I think both residents have been informed of the situation with regards to the responsibilities with regards to the undesignated watercourse, and then that watercourse then drops down into the grounds of the new Abbey School, and there's certainly further work that has to be ongoing there. So there's a number of landowners, that, including myself as a landowner for the road, that will have to do further work with regards to that situation, you know.
Right, and I've already spoke to you about the one on the Monks Hill Road.
Monks Hill Road, yeah.
Thank
okay.
you.
Gary.
Yeah, thanks, sir.
Thanks, Gary. Okay, that's Newry dealt with. Could we move on then to Slieve Gullion?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Anna. The Moorings. That's right. Henry, you just woke up there. Do you want in, Henry?
Yeah.
It's all right. If you have nothing to say, we're quite all right with that, too.
Concern, and there's concern within the agricultural community with Rivers Agency, is rumours, persistent rumours, that they're going to be abandoned to do all the drainage work themselves. And I'd like some form of assurance that that will not be the case. But there's one instance there at the Ocala Finn Road between Clock and Tapple Island, AOH home called. The graveyard just across from the hall flooded, and there is an ancient gully that runs along the land, and it does collapse from time to time again, or from time to time. And I know that the farmer that owns that is very concerned that he could end up having a liability there, and those are issues that we would need to look at. In terms of flooding, if you look at the Bay Park Road, it's just on the edge of Newry and Mourne, up at Riff Island there, and the flooding that's taken place there, and houses nearly flooded, and only for good work by roads agency staff bringing in sandbags and that type of thing, those houses would have flooded. And then you find that Rivers Agency are more or less designating the flat land in that area as a floodplain. And, you know, years ago, the Shocks, the Rivers, They were all well maintained and cleaned out, and the flooding wasn't ever to the same extent. So that's a big fear that a lot of people have. And on Cindy and the roads there, Cologne, Bally Edmund, is very, very dangerous there. And the way the water can accumulate so quickly, there's more cars getting wrecked in it, you know, by driving into it and diesel engines taking in water and that. And I don't know what the solution is, but it's something that we need to look at very, very much. Also, the water still accumulates on the A2 there, just up from Campbell's Garage. And, I can't see why, when it's so close to the road, that drains can't be just cut across the road and let it go down into the sea. But maybe there's engineering reasons why that can't be done. Just to reiterate what Charlie Casey said about gullies. There's gullies down our way, and whenever I started in the council, it was twice a year, and then it went to once a year, and then it went to once every 2 years. But these things are just chopper block with stuff. There's weeds growing out the top, even though the lorry comes along, puts a such a thing in, and it's meant to clean them. And you say to yourself, what's going on here? You know, and the water's not getting away in many instances when it could get away. So I think we need to do that. And even in roads there like Mill Bay, Corcrahan Road, where there's old shocks that Road Service or Rivers Agency between them maintain that took water off the roads. You know, you're getting flooding in those roads now that hadn't happened for years because there's no maintenance going on with those shocks. So I could go on and on, Chairman. I'm just trying to make a point and highlight that some of those specific issues.
Yeah, I was going to put them in here.
But I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks. Chairman,
I would like an answer on issues like, will farmers be totally responsible for designated water courses, the maintenance of them? And is there a policy to designate floodplains in areas where there's housing? Thank you.
Allow them to respond at the end when everybody raises, Henry. Go ahead, Willie.
Thanks, Chair. I suppose I'll take the first one. It's a mix between Rivers Agency and Transport NI. It's in regards to storm drains not being able to, the water not being able to get into the river because of the flood wash. Now, there's been this is in relation to, the Bourne River flood prevention scheme. A number of areas have been identified. Beachfield Park, Newcastle, Bourne Park in the same area, and Dunwellan Park. Now, the problem, as I've outlined, the problem is that there's a need for, we talked about the flat valves earlier, there's the need for flat valves to be put in place at them storm drains where they should be entering the river. There's a number of areas where we have, or Rivers Agency have carried out that work. St Patrick's Park, they're looking at it in Marguerite Park, Newcastle. That's on the other side of the flood wall. But I think there needs to be a meeting of minds between Transport NI and the Rivers Agency about agreeing who's going to put the valves in. I think that has to be carried out. There's a number of other flooding issues, obviously, in Newcastle. There's the Mournview flooding problem. And that's NA Water, and there was to be a scheme put in place to remedy that. And there's a number of, you know, other areas are flooding because of that, or sort of associated with that. There would be Linkside Park would be associated, and also then the Newcastle, Linkside Park's on the Dundrum Road, across the road from Mournview, you know, so it's sort of linked. Maybe get an update on that scheme, where it's at. The other one was the Shimna River, which Rivers Agency was to carry out a feasibility study in regards to soft engineered scheme along the Shimna River. And just maybe to get an idea where that is, that was to protect houses on the Brainsford Road in Newcastle. There was a detailed study carried out, and I think the results that came back said it wasn't feasible. Just to get an update from Rivers Agency in regards to that. And just Transport NI then, there's a number of, you know, areas where there's continual just flooding. There's along the Main Street in Newcastle, there's two areas that just flood all the time. There's a problem with the drain. That was since the streetscape went in. There's been a problem with the two drains. One at the Base Coffee, Cafe, and also at the Strand. They're both across the road from the promenade, and they just continually flood all the time, which ends up, you know, people going to the shops are getting, you know, soaked by lorries driving by. You know, so if that could be looked at and maybe a remedy found in regards to that. The other is Corrigs Road near the Bourndale Hotel, and also the Bourne Bridge Road. And I think it's similar to sort of landowners blocking drains and the water not being able to get away. If you could maybe look at that as well. That's basically it.
Thanks, Willie. Glenn, before you come in, could you turn Henry's light out?
It won't go off.
Well, if not, there you go.
The ghost of Henry Riley.
Just Chair, there's a few issues I have here, and the main one, to be quite honest with you, is that A2 really from the Bloody Bridge right through down along. There is substantial flooding along that there all the time. I know they have made efforts to clear drains, but it still isn't really sufficient. You need to do something with it. Number of roads up in Mourne, there's the head road between the Silent Valley and Dinnywater. There's quite a number of the entrances to properties actually washing away now, so there is, because the drains either have failed or collapsed, or they need some sort of work done. And as I said earlier on, that Balran Road, where there's a pipe, I'm not sure if it's a pipe that's burst or something has happened. It's been running now for some considerable time, and the road's pretty much collapsing on one side of it. That's close to the end where it meets the Auchnahary Road. One of the other big issues here, that quite a number of the heavy vehicles, lorries, buses and that there have been pointing out to me, all the way through there from the Bloody Bridge right through to Kilkeel and on up to Restrever, trees need cut back. I don't know if it's Transport NI's responsibility to get them to do it or not, but the amount of mirrors and stuff that's been lost there, and some of them are quite expensive, and it's also driving the lorries into the middle of the road, which is a danger on its own. They need looked at, to be quite honest with you. Some of the branches are quite big, and especially as you come there towards Restrever, and it's just there along there before and along. One other issue, you see the pipeline that's going on in Ballymartin at the moment. Will Ballymartin be resurfaced again? Because it's got to a stage now, it's unbelievable. Whenever I'm out on my bicycle, I have to ride the footpath now in case I fall off. I'm joking, but to be quite honest, Ballymartin's got to really be on a joke, so it has. It really has. The one other road I would like to highlight to you is the Ballykeel Road, going from the main A2 right up through till the Ballyvay Bagmore Road. It's got to the stage now, a lane up the middle of a field would be 100 times better. There's parts of it that the surface is completely gone. It's just completely gone altogether. And on potholes, what are you going to do about it? All I'm hearing is about potholes. Maybe the Oar Councillor's never heard tell of them, but I don't know. You give up on them. I don't know, but hopefully you'll be able to do something a bit better. And actually, whatever you are using to repair them at the moment doesn't seem to be working. They're all breaking out again. So, thanks for that.
Thanks, Steve. Do you just want to respond to some of them issues that are raised?
Maybe just to revisit the Leitrim issue, I'm not sure if I made it clear. We're doing a feasibility study just on Leitrim to see about where the side drain discharges into the main river there. So just to see if there's works feasible for it. Going back to the points then raised by Councillor Riley. I'm not aware of that location at Clough, so maybe if we could get the details of it sent on to us. Just in relation to designated watercourses then, as far as I'm aware, the plans are that Rivers Agency will continue to maintain them within their normal maintenance regime. Farmers can maintain those watercourses if they feel the need, but, you know, between Rivers Agency's visits to them. So that's for designated watercourses. for undesignated watercourses, it's the landowners that are responsible, and that remains the case. Well, all I can say is I'm not aware of any at this moment in time. So, you know, I can't look in the future. In relation to floodplains are protected from development to prevent infilling and increasing the flood risk elsewhere. So that's done through planning policy, and that has been the case for a number of years now and will continue to be the situation. So the burn scheme then was raised about water back drainage issues. So that has been raised by a number of people with Rivers Agency about back gardens flooding and being waterlogged and all the rest of it. So the local area office have requested the design drawings or as constructed drawings of the back drainage there, and they're going to investigate that. The other one then was the Shimner River, where Rivers Agency have completed a feasibility study on it, and my information is that they're awaiting funding for it. So by the sound of that, the scheme is viable, but it has to be funded. Yes, that's okay. That'll be picked up in the minutes. Yep.
Okay. Right, that is all the issues that were actually raised through Ian. Sorry, Robert. So any councillors from the other areas who have anything briefly to come in with? Or sorry, Sleeve Gullion, could you just come in?
Yeah, no, you forgot us again. Go on.
I'm losing the will to live.
Yeah.
Go on, get on with it.
Yeah, Cindy, I was speaking to Rivers Agency just before the meeting. I think you were out with us at the flooding issue in the gardens in Bessbrook at the lane behind those houses that sort of runs between the now defunct police station and the houses in the gardens. If I could put a push on you to maybe have a look to see, you know, what we can do about that. NIW mentioned seeing if the contractor responsible had a bond with anybody where maybe that work could be looked at. There's a whole row of houses there just waiting to flood, and also the church graveyard is just absolutely destroyed. So it is affecting a lot of people, and I know it's really an issue that no agency wants to take responsibility for because it wasn't any of your fault, but people's homes are going to be flooded. The other thing... living up in the mountains, the water just runs away from us. But unfortunately, the mountain road in Camla is in a really bad state. And with the amount of water that was running down, we did actually have a bit of subsidence in some of the ditches and things. And again, the gullies and potholes are incredible on that stretch of road, as they are on the Kegel Road, where again at the quarry and what have you, there's a lot of water running down, and it has made the road condition there precarious at times. There also seems to be an issue at the Murray's Corner. There seems to be a problem with the flooding there, and there has been a lot of damage done with the tarmac there has been well broken up. And just like everybody else, our gullies are in an awful state and our potholes are now ready to rival Camla Lake, but it might build tourism, who knows?
Potholes of potholes.
Okay, is that all from people?
Certainly is.
Can I put your leg on?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Chair. This for Jim for the Rivers Agency. Thank you. A number of months ago, I reported an issue at 95 Drumontee Road, Cleavey. A farmer in the fields above it had reseeded, and he put a sort of land bridge in across a river that runs along the foot of Sleeve Gullion Mountain. Unfortunately, he only put 2 9-inch pipes to run through this land bridge that he had put in. Now, it flooded it caused serious flooding on the Drummond Hill Road in 2014, and every time there's heavy rain, the river itself is diverted down the fields through two properties, damaging houses there, and brings a torrent of rock and stone and mud down onto that road. I know Road Service has been out numerous times cleaning that road, that stretch of road, and cleaning the gullies and putting warning signs up. I was just wondering, could you look into seeing if there's any intention of doing anything to resolve that problem? It is actually just because of the bridge and the lack of access for the water under it that's causing it. Two issues in relation to safety along a river in Forkill and Mullaban. I was just wondering, 149 the Longfield Road, Forkill, the access to the property, to a number of houses there, is across the river, and a new bridge had been put in due to flooding in the past, leaving the bridge, the old bridge, inaccessible. I was just wondering, could there be a chance of Rivers Agency maybe putting some fencing alongside that bridge to prevent children, animals, etc., falling into the river off it? And again, at Mullaban, at the rear of Clachan Fold, there's a river runs through the centre of Mullaban, and part of it's fenced where the council has responsibility for a walkway, but to the rear of Clachan Fold, there's nothing to prevent children tumbling into this river. And in the past, unfortunately, a child has drowned in this river. I was wondering, is there any responsibility on Rivers Agency to fence along the river as it runs through estates, etc.? Cindy, just the usual stuff, potholes and all. I know that a month or so ago, a number of roads in around Drummond Heath Jones were Forkill were surveyed and marked for major potholes, but some of the roads weren't surveyed, including the Fiach Litre, the old road, the Carmaine Road, the Molly Road. They're in an awful state. I mean, I know it's the same across the country, but your access, 30, 40 potholes. The Molly Road, the old road, is just deteriorating. Practically in parts of it, the whole surface to an inch or more deep has come off it. I was just wondering, is there any intention to go back to these roads and resurvey them or solve the problem?
In relation to that, we do have our inspection cycle, and we're trying to keep within that inspection cycle. But one of the things council need to be aware of, that our frequency of inspections has recently changed, and our one monthlies are still one monthlies, our two monthlies have gone to three monthlies, and our four monthlies have gone to six monthlies. So the likes of an unclassified road will only be inspected twice a year now. So that's why you're seeing a longer period of time when we're back on these roads. The other difficulty that we had, again, it's back to the resource limitations that we were faced with in the skeleton service that we adopted for most part of 2015 to 2016. That didn't allow us to do an awful lot of repairs, particularly on unclassified roads, and that has led to a deterioration of the surface and the condition of those roads. We were only funded to be able to deliver the most severe potholes and the surface defects on the higher classification roads. So therefore, the likes of the unclassified road network, we weren't doing any repairs at all. And I think that has led to a serious deterioration of our network. We sought and got a little bit of extra funding there in November time, and we've put that to good use throughout the district, carrying out some additional patching by external contract. The likes of Martin's Lane, we've patched some of it in relation to the traffic calming scheme that was completed. We've also done additional carriage refurbishment works on the likes of Postman's Road, the B135 Collyhanna Road, and also the Ferry Hill Road. So those are quite extensive works that we felt was necessary, but obviously, you know, whatever little funding we've had, we've put them through that, and we've also given some of our routine pothole repairs or surface defect repairs out to external contractor in an attempt to try and catch up. So we are sort of trying to get back onto a level playing field and deal with some of these surface defects that we weren't funded to be able to repair. That situation exists now until the end of the current financial year. We don't know what it's like going forward and have no indication of our budget going forward. We're trying very hard to use what money's available to us to try and repair what we can in the opportunities that we have. But unfortunately, there isn't the same level of funding that we would like. So we have to prioritise, and we're doing that by trying to get round the network and playing a wee bit of catch-up by using internal contractors and our external contractors as well. Pardon? It's difficult to say. We have no indication as yet. We have no indication as yet to what our budgets will be going forward, but we will be faced with the same, you know, the same challenges that we had this year. And obviously the impact on our, you know, basically our housekeeping, you know, our gully cleaning, our pothole repairs and our grass cutting. Those are what I call our housekeeping. And those were, we had no facility to deliver those at the beginning of this financial year. And that has impacted on our network. We basically weren't looking after our assets. And now we're, you know, obviously January and February, the months that I would see the highest increase in surface defects. And, you know, that's coming home now. And that's been compounded by the fact that we haven't, you know, we haven't been on those roads. And going forward, you know, with our new inspection frequencies, we won't be on the unclassified networks except twice a year now. When previously we would have been on it three times a year. So, you know, the inspectors will have less opportunity to pick up those defects, and you have a longer period of time in between. And it remains to be seen whether we'll be funded going forward to be able to repair any of the defects on those unclassified networks, you know. So.
Yes, the Drummond T Road at Killeavy, I'm not aware of that particular issue, so we'll maybe have a look at it just going forward from the minutes. In relation to the safety fencing on bridges, Rivers Agency's only responsibility is maintaining the drainage function of the watercourse. So we don't get involved in putting in fencing and what have you for safety reasons. That particular bridge, I think I know it actually, the one at Longfield Road, I think there's an issue with, there's a bend just at the bridge, so I think the safety fencing was taken down to allow vehicles to cut, you know, across the bridge. But even apart from that, Rivers Agency doesn't provide fencing at watercourses, safety fencing at watercourses.
Okay, Maggie. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. In relation to flooding, this year we had serious flooding in North Market Street this year, like out there, and we thought that problem had been solved with a new pumping station. And then a place that never had flooded before was at the junction of Stream Street and St. Patrick's Avenue, at the top end of it, about that top end of it. So I wonder, you know, what the position is there. Is there anything that can be done about it?
Thank you, Chair. I suppose just two issues. One is to do with the Strangford Road in Downpatrick. I've been in correspondence with you regularly about this one, and it doesn't seem to be sorted. And I'm glad maybe with the setup tonight, because when I go to Water Service, they say it's rivers, and rivers say it's roads, and roads say it's water, and it goes around in circles. But I think that flooding, there was a bit of clearing done, but I think the flooding has come back again, and it's just maybe to see if there could be a coordinated approach rather than me having to organise bringing you all together, if you could do that coordinated approach just there to be able to manage the flooding that there is. And it does seem to be coming up through the grating in the middle of the road, so I don't know which department that sort of steers it towards, but I was down myself and actually seeing the water coming up through that. The other one is probably a technical question. There's an issue where a household has flooding from the field next door, and the water is starting to encroach its way up towards their garden from the field, which is obviously privately owned. But the water is running down the main road and into the field. Now, if it's coming down the road is acting as a natural drain pipe to bring this water down into the field, as opposed to it being a natural basin of water where the water is starting to gather from the surrounding fields. And if there is water coming down that main road and being funneled into the field and then eventually from the field into the person's garden, is there a way that some of the statutory organisations might take some sort of responsibility for that? Because it's a considerable amount of water, it's not just a trickle, so there's an issue there with that.
Do you have the location?
Bally Stew Road. Just literally a bally and a stew.
Do you need something to do with the
Yeah, Chair, just Councillor Bailey asked me to raise a few very small quick issues. One of them was the Market Street flooding. Just that, can she be copied into any report that you send? I believe it was a pump failure, so whatever the report is. And the second one was an ongoing issue with Dunleith Park. Obviously, there's a lot of sport played on Dunleith Park, and there'll be an intensification of that because we've had to close a number of the pitches due to our construction work. But the open trench that sits there, we understand from previous council we've not been able to get it enclosed because it needs to be able to flood. But as it's a health and safety issue, can it be graded off to avoid a child slipping into it? It's a real serious risk. It's been on for a long time, and there's no point in the clubs all having health and safety policies and somebody slipping into an open drain. So can have we look at that and see if that's feasible?
Yeah, I'm Graham Miller. I'll maybe pick up on the Market Street down Patrick there. And the new pumping station is up and running, and it certainly will help. Now, across Northern Ireland, I meet a lot of people that have suffered flooding and things there. And I always warn them, any pump or any pipe has finite capacity. You know, we can't, as engineers, eliminate the risk of flooding. You know, we can reduce the risk of flooding, but we can't eliminate it because a pipe or a valve just has a limit. And how much rain falls, who knows? And people talk about climate change. And I've stopped talking to people about 1 in 100 year storms or 1 in 20 or 1 in 30. You know, because be honest, at some point your drainage system will be beat. It will go over land. It will flood lower properties. You know, and that's what you're facing. People tend to want to know about three things from me when it comes to flooding, you know, and certainly when Northern Ireland Water is engaged, these are things. They want to know what's my risk of flooding, what's the risk of this happening. And certainly from Northern Ireland Water's perspective, we're very much focused on property flooding and internal property, and when that's domestic and anybody has suffered brown water in their house, you know, they can feel, you know, it's much more than just the property damage. There's an awful lot of emotional damage and people living in fear of rain. And very much, if you want to assess your risk of that, you know, there's the flood risk maps that DART have produced for the whole of Northern Ireland, where you can go in and see what the probability of risk in any particular point is. Now, the problem with probability is I can give you there's a chance of this happening. I don't know when it's going to happen. It could happen tomorrow. You can predict the depth and the consequence of the flooding. And those maps are very much they're publicly available and they're there. In terms of what people can do, so if you want to assess your risk, you can go in and look at that. Now, I do find across the province there is a number of community resilience groups. They're very much, I came to the point where we came to the conclusion really that yes, we're going to have to deal with this flooding, and in terms of that, and certainly Northern Ireland Water, along with the councils, and along with Transport NI and Rivers, Red Cross, and a range of emergency services, it's all about how to get ready for the flooding and how to recover it after that. And I'm afraid that's the situation we're living with in Northern Ireland across the province, and certainly a number of the towns and the centres, you know, there's no point in me saying that I can build something big enough to deal with whatever is thrown at us. And certainly those groups, and some of when the local community take co-responsibility for dealing with these things, I think it's a major step forward. And certainly the government agencies will work and do our bit for that. And I do appreciate the frustration, perhaps, where for us as engineers, where we're trying to figure out why it floods and what's the source of flooding, because that depends who takes it up. And sometimes we find there's a lot of private drains that are unchartered, that there's no one taking charge of those things, and we're certainly trying to get after those. In terms of the flood response, we have it part of our major incident planning. We do go along to any of these community resilience groups, and we do play our part, as do the other government agencies. People also asked about what we're doing sort of in the longer term in terms of our drainage modelling and this type of thing. And those things take time to develop up and time to develop a capital scheme. Again, we are constrained in our capital funding. Projects have to be affordable. They have to fall within economic yardsticks. And to that end, some projects simply will not have to, you know, we can't find the capital investment for those. Also, a good step forward has been there's a grant scheme. It's run by DARD in terms of individual property protection. This is where instead of using heavy sandbags to protect your property, you can go and get a grant. Helps you towards, if you qualify, you can get a grant, but it helps you towards protecting your own property and stopping the flood water getting into there. But so that's just a general view on it. I hear a lot of stuff here tonight, and there's quite a lot of people here, and it's quite hard to maybe grab hold of these things all, but certainly Northern Ireland Water, we're happy to meet each individual area and try to get to the bottom of why these things happen, and if they are maintenance issues, we can hopefully resolve them. But I would warn against assuming that if we build a new pumping station that it's a panacea in terms of flood alleviation, because it's not. You know, it will help. It does bring it up to standards, but it doesn't safeguard for every event. And you've heard the people on the television across the water and things saying of a 100 year to happen yesterday or tomorrow. And in terms of what you people can do and what councillors and things can do, I always look for the community resilience groups is one thing you can do. Also, when you're planning public realm work or those sorts of things, you have to think about flooding and involve the agencies, because we have a tendency maybe to put down acres of granite, and everybody wants granite, you know, but that does exasperate the flooding problems. And there's some very good work in terms of sustainable drainage, and I think one of the councillors mentioned over here about developers, and we're certainly pushing forward sustainable solutions, whether it's housing developers and stuff, so when they do build the things, they're not exasperating the problem. And there's good examples across the UK where these things are used. But that's all I want to say on that.
Maybe just pick up that point of it there.
Are we aware of that one, Ivan? Is it just maybe Ivan? I don't know if you can pick up.
Certainly, can I take that up? There was flooding there at the corner of Stream Street and St Patrick's Avenue. That appears to be on an unadapted watercourse, and there is discussions ongoing who actually owns that, because the inlet to that is from an open watercourse going through down hospital grounds. So there is investigation work going on at the minute. We have to think that there's possibly an obstruction about 10 or 12 metres down below that manhole on the downstream side, but there is discussions going on about who actually owns that pipe.
Yep. Maybe just picking up that point that Graham was talking about, that homeowner flood protection grant scheme. Are councillors aware of that? It's on the DARD basis, but if a property has been susceptible to flooding or suffered flooding, the resident can apply for a grant to get some amendments made around the property, maybe just the way the water flows in out, you know, towards the property. It might be of benefit for people who are talking to you about what can they do if they're not aware of it. It's worth highlighting to them. I think it's homeowner. I think Declan. Yeah, I think it's homeowner just yet. Yeah.
Just to let you know, this list literally was hot off the press, and I think it was ran as I was going to the car to go to Downpatrick today, but the list isn't finalised, first of all, so we've still to work our way through the minutes of the workshop. This is based on the questionnaires. I suppose the whole importance of this here, you can see how many different issues there is, and what we want to try and work towards is a system, and then working through the DEAs and per-electoral areas you see on the sheet, what we want to do is have a consolidated list, so we know exactly what the issues are, what the priority are, and even if there's several councillors raising the same issues, then once we've got this list agreed and finalised, then we can pass that to the agencies, and then they can give an update on each individual one. Then they can be tracked as well. So rather than us, you know, something maybe hasn't raised its head for a while and then it comes back again. So I think we're such a big district, you know, we just need to try and bring it into a proper spreadsheet and consolidate it. So that's what the process we're hoping to try and achieve, you know, after today. Yeah, well, the hope also is, sorry, is through the DES process, so I'd like to meet then with the DEA group and then get the sheet finalised for that electoral area. So we've got the sheet that covers your electoral area for starters, and then we bring it to the next stage to the agency, so that's okay.
It's an iterative process. So we've sent a questionnaire to all councillors. Councillors put the stuff into us. We start to gather them, and we'll put them on a DEA basis. And then Ian, over the 12-month period, will visit each of the DEAs and pick up flooding as part of that issue. So again, that's what we want to do. But again, it's a trade between coordination and a log of it, and then that can be fed into the
Maybe just to comment on that, Ian, it might be better if we look at maybe integrating that into the emergency planning group sort of scenario, you know, the southern group, rather than setting up another series of meetings, or a meeting structure, but it's something that we can talk about.
Yeah, well, suppose, to say what I was looking for, is we did have a flood resilience group of the agencies. Because it's such a big area, we do have subgroups for other specific issues, so that would be what I'm proposing. You know, for flooding as a separate entity, because it is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there is an emergency planning group that deals with the flooding as well, so I think we need to look at it in that context.
The councillors want to keep it as local as they can within their DEAs as well, because there's issues arrive and we want them dealt with. We don't want to be waiting for an emergency grouping to be taken together, so we don't want to be left out in the cold in relation to getting issues sorted and dealt with, which has been happening.
Well, I don't think it's something we're going to resolve tonight, but it's something that we need
to
look at.
The problem, the reason we have these sheets in front of us is because there's issues ongoing for years that haven't been dealt with.
Yes, but we can only deal with what we can deal with, you know. So, what I'm trying to say is setting up another series of meetings on the top of existing meetings may not be advisable. So we need to just be careful that we're not doing that.
I don't think that's what we're suggesting. This is what we're doing is we're going to plug in to the members in terms of get the information. We'll build the log on to it, so it's not additional meetings for yourselves.
Okay, Liam, are you finished? Now?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So everybody's clear on any issues within their DEAs to pass them on to Ian, who then in turn will collate them, and then at some stage he'll get round all the DEAs themselves. Is that clear for everyone? Yeah. Very briefly, Declan.
Oh, no, it's just about this. It's about the work and how this really is going to operate. You know,
only after explaining.
Ian's explained 12 months. I mean, 12 months wouldn't be acceptable to anybody, certainly, that I represent.
Sorry, 12 months what?
That it could take 12 months to get it all collated.
That's been generous.
And getting round. I mean, I'd love to know, if we raise some of these quite serious issues today, and I don't mind, I know there was talk before we came to this meeting, certainly, about the pressure on all the top table as such in terms of coming and attending meetings, but if this was called like a live register, and yet the issues came onto
that's
it
what we're saying,
and dropped it. No, but I haven't clarified that.
Clarified. It's again, you're not listening.
Well, I don't. I think I was listening. It was all respect, but it wasn't just there enough.
It's only after being said what we were doing. It's going back to the DEAs, which are going to be. You're the chair of one of them, so you know how often they're going to meet.
Yeah, but that's two every 2 months as well. All I'm just saying is if some of the issues were a commodity thing, and if they're dealt with satisfactorily, then drop off it again, that maybe is a simple enough way of doing it, you know.
Okay. Henry, what is it?
They're liable.
In relation to additional funding, we did get additional funding in November time following the autumn review. through the DRD Minister, Michael Veen, she was successful in getting us additional funding, and that has been put towards additional patching and carriage refurbishment work, which would be larger scale patching work. We also got a small amount of capital money as well, which enabled us to do additional schemes. We're currently completing, I think it's 1.5 kilometres of resurfacing on the A29, Dundalk Road, Newton Hamilton, at Billy Henry's Corner. And there's two schemes also being completed in the Down section office area as well as a result of that additional capital funding. So we got some amount of funding, but certainly it would not be what we would have liked. But we made aggressive bids and we got some of that funding.
What about community fixing the problem? We're not seeing any of that funding. That's very, very much it.
As explained, we do have the issues, the legacy now of when we operated our skeleton service for the best part of the present financial year. We were unable to fix any surface defects on classified roads. We now, with the additional funding that we got in November time, we're trying to get around the network in as best possible procedures and try and do some of those surface defects. But as I say, we don't have any indication of... There isn't any legal clarification with regards to that. We are the road owner, and we are therefore responsible for any hazards on the network. If someone takes it upon themselves, I would say, you have to have due diligence with regards to health and safety and all those issues, and it wouldn't be something that I personally would be recommending,
Henry, you asked the question, she answered.
All right,
Willie, last person speaking, and very briefly. Are you still sitting?
No, Chair, we discussed a lot of stuff tonight, and mainly it was about remedial works. I think we need to be looking at preventative measures and being more strategic in how we move forward. I think I've talked about the SUDS system. And looking at permeable surfaces and bringing it through our planning system, and setting up some task and finish group to look at bringing all the stakeholders together and the council being the lead in regards to looking at, preventative measures like extra tree planting, and particularly in council land, but along rivers. Working with the different agency, education boards and whatever else, about looking at strategically what we can do to prevent flooding, to look at, as I talked about, soft engineered type of approaches, looking at buffer zones on our water courses to slow the water up, getting into our rivers. I think there's a need to do that. I think there's an onus on us, and we're talking a bit serious about mitigating the impact of climate change. Then that's something we really need to taste. And I think as the council, we need to be the lead body in regards to pulling that together. So I propose that we do set up a group to deal with this. And I'll leave it in the officers, leave it in Liam's hands to look at the best way of bringing that forward. It may be through the thematic working group, or the thematic group in community planning may be the best vehicle for that. But I'll leave it with the officer. To go away and look at the best way to bring that forward.